Extravaganza.
Hello and welcome back to the Horror Pop Extravaganza. All you horror hounds and gatekeepers of the macabre. All you cool people out there that I just want to fuck. And I salute you right now. And you can get this verified somehow. I don't know. But it's a real salute. It is a real salute happening. You can hear in the salute when I'm going. But what is up, people? This is episode 16 of the Horror Pop Extravaganza. I am Pops Ghostly. And with me, as always, is
Brian Bullips.
Brian Bullips. Okay. I like that. I like that. You just gave my character something to do. Like, that's what he does with his bull lips as I'm drawing this disgusting thing. Brian.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pops?
I am recovering a little bit. We have had the what I think is the influenza floating around the house. It's been pretty rampant here in Michigan. I just talked to my sister this morning. My daughter was chatting with her cousins and I guess it just went through their house. I talked to my mom the other day. She's like, oh, yeah, your uncle and so-and-so just went through their house. So I'm assuming it's just something going around. And I feel on the upswing a little bit, still a little coffee, still a little phlegmy. But it was 3 days there that were pretty intense. But we are here not to talk about me being sick. We are here to talk about something really cool that very rarely in my life, in you know, this modern life, does something get recommended out of nowhere where, you know, I wasn't even really aware, might have been a tiny bit, you know, wasn't even really aware, but it was recommended through a connection. It was, hey, I saw this thing that you did. Does it have anything to do with this thing? I had no idea about this thing. And so I know people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? This, that, and the other thing. So the movie we're going to talk about today, I had drawn a picture recently, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast, about my love for Gadget from the Rescue Rangers. Now, she was my very first crush, dude. She really was. I remember it as a kid, like, not like sexual, but just like, oh, I want to be with Gadget. Like, I don't know. She's just
that's,
like, whatever.
That's sexual.
Not like that. I didn't want to be inside Gadget. She wasn't, you know, fixing my pee-pee, but it was... I just remember a strong attraction to Gadget from Rescue Rangers. So recently, when I first started tattooing, I'd drawn up this picture of Gadget and wrote like first love or first crush or some shit like that. And I did another one a couple years later because I'm just like, I want to see myself improve. And I was like, damn, this new picture is like way better than that one from a couple years ago. This is cool. So I throw it online. And a good buddy of mine, Vince, who we reconnected recently since I transitioned over into the creating art space, and we had met like once or twice, but he just sends me a message. He's like, hey, is this from that movie Onyx? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I want to know who else. Like, I'm not alone anymore in the world. The fact that he said this indicated that there was somebody out there who had the same appreciation for the hole that was Gadget, all the, you
for
know,
Gadget's
the,
hole
for shut the fuck up, don't you degrade my lady like that. We're not doing that on this. She a shift, but yes, I give a go with it. So I immediately jumped on this movie. He's like, hey, is this movie Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls? He's like, I wouldn't, you know, put you in the direction if it wasn't a good thing on top of it, because I don't want to see somebody take the idea and like shit all over it. You know what I mean? Right. But the way it became recommended, I was like, holy fuck. And so I buy the movie. It's $10. Not long after I talked to you, I'm like, yo, can you check this thing out? When we were talking to Sean, which a lot of cool feedback on the Sean episode. People like Sean. So Sean, fucking cool, dude. Thanks.
I just saw Sean the other day at our movie premiere, and it was awesome. We took a picture on the red carpet, dude. And shit. Yeah, so he'll be back.
Yes, I hope so. Well, we were talking about it, and his love for Psycho Gorman is what, you know, prompted me to say, hey, you should check this movie out too. I hope he's had a chance to watch it since, but we are talking about Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls from 2023. Andrew Bowser, and I'll let you do the full spiel, but do you remember him doing YouTube?
No, I had no idea about this guy's YouTube presence until I looked it up after I saw this.
Yeah, and see, I feel like it was a friend of mine years ago when this guy like put me onto him standing outside Arby's and shit and like making funny fucking videos or like at the Baphomet premiere in Detroit. Like he makes a super fucking funny video. And so I knew the character. And when I first saw it, like, hey, this is all him, I was kind of nervous because I was like, how far can that character go, dude, before it gets right. Like I was nervous. Got through it. I've watched this multiple times since purchasing it. It's one I think I even threw it back on this morning before when I was just sitting kind of because I'm fucking coughing. I'm at the age where I was coughing so hard this morning that I hurt my back. So now I got a little heating patch on my back to warm that spot up. So I'm like, oh, fuck, almost just blew my back out. Shane is like, damn, dude, like if you start getting better and then pull your back getting better, like that's tough. So, yeah, it'll be all right. So Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls from 2023. Why don't you lay it all on us?
Hang on. I think you've probably lost most of our audience because they don't understand what the connection is between your childhood fantasies and we'll this movie. You want to get there naturally. Okay. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we'll for the there. Audience listening, it's going to make sense. I understand it doesn't now, but we'll get there. Pops has got you covered.
Yeah. It will get there. And like I had mentioned to you before we even started recording, my brain's still a little foggy. I've been on all kinds of fucking medications and shit trying to feel better. So, yeah, who knows? It'll get there. It might take us. It'll be a long.
This is a weird movie to be Pops being weird on. So it's going to be a fun ride.
It's going to be fun. But why don't you go ahead, Brian, Bull Lips and... How did this thing come to be?
Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls from 2023. 1 hour and 48 minutes of just pure unadulterated joy. And the star is the writer, director, and actor, Andrew Bowser. Yes. And I thought when I started seeing this character, I was like, this is not something that would be translated in like a pitch meeting. This dude definitely wrote, directed, and created this character himself.
And this was developed. You can see it. You know, this is years of playing this character. It's not like he just wrote it and then, you know, came to you. This is the most, you practiced every joke a fucking thousand times on YouTube, and now you're like, all right, it's time for the big stand-up show. Like, let's go up there and make it clean and make it good.
Yes. I'm going to read off some of the other character names because they were great and they deserve recognition, although I don't think any of them were like huge actors.
So two of them are, though. I know for you, but I do want to stop you there. So Barbara Crampton.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Huge genre players. You know, the people who see them will be like, they would be like, what the fuck? No name fucking Brian Bullips. I'm about to punch you in your fucking Bullips. You fucking dummy. That's fucking Reanimator right there.
No, I know that.
But those two, I would say, being your biggest kind of noticeable genre faces.
Right. And that's what you got to do if you're going to do a movie like this, is you got to get a couple of names.
Dude, put it in the right place. And they, you know, the right place here, I think, was Crampton. Definitely Jeffrey Combs. He brings an energy that is hard to... It's that weird, like, even in Reanimator and shit, like, it's that Lovecraftian quirkiness it's almost fun. Like, you're never really super afraid, but it's still kind of, like, menacing at the same time. He's just... perfected that.
I think he was perfect in Frighteners, dude. Like Frighteners was exactly what you get from him in every movie, where it's almost too much, but then it's not because it's kind of cute.
Right, and that's the thing is like, how is it kind of cute? But thanks, Jeffrey Combs. Like that's cool. I appreciate it.
Yes. So we have Rivka Reyes as Mac. We have Melanie Chandra as Jazzminder. We have Terrence T.C. Carson as Mr. Duke. Man, that dude's got a smooth voice.
Dude, I was like, read me bedtime stories. Very smooth.
We have Arden Mirren as Shelley. Barbara Crampton as Nancy. Olivia Taylor Dudley as Farrah. She was a fucking gem in this too. Like, so good. And I've seen her before. I just wasn't sure where.
I feel like everybody, you know, you not a lot of these names are super recognizable, but it's fucking solid cast across the board. Never was I like, oh, this. And it was written in a great way to give these characters the ability to bring almost, in a way, it felt like Clue. You know what
I
mean?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Recurring shit. Like it really had a lot of that. But I love Clue. I will never not watch Clue. So feeling like that. And this movie as a whole is a love letter to a lot of fucking awesome things, at least that I think are awesome. It really is a love letter to all those things.
Yeah. And then we've got Jeffrey Combs, just the fucking man himself. That was where they spent their money, and it was well spent.
Well, they spent their money there. I feel like they spent their money on practical effects.
For sure.
Please and thank you. And then you spend your fucking money to secure the rights to I Will Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. Because that, without, I don't know. We'll get there. You know, all this shit will start to make sense, because it is ludicrous when you say it out loud, like how this story unfolds, but it's fun.
It's ludicrous when you start watching it too. Like, it took me a minute to be like, okay, wait a minute, I gotta get in the right headspace for this.
Yeah, it's going in a different direction.
All right, you ready to hear what somebody thinks this is about?
Yeah.
Fledgling occultist Onyx and a group of worshippers attend a once in a lifetime ritual at their idol Bartok the Great's mansion.
Yes. And that does it no justice.
It does not. That would not sell me on watching this movie.
So we open right up, and this is what sold me on this movie, is we have our lead character, Marcus, I can't even remember his actual name. It's like Trillberry, but his fucking name tag is like Marquay Dickberry. We'll get there. But it's a 4:3 framing, like an old VHS. And I'm like, okay, somebody's, you know, hearkening back to an era. They're establishing, hey, this is fucking, remember going to the video store and shit, right, and all the weird stuff that would happen when you took videos home? This is maybe a lot of that. And I was like, okay, keep selling me. And he's in this homemade fucking cloak, and he's like, I want to be part of the this ritual for Bartok. And he's like, I've read all your books. And he's just sitting in the corner like, how interesting. And he's like, I even got your workout tape, the Beelzebub beef up. I'm almost done with that. And then his mom comes in, and he's got all her dolls and shit everywhere. She's like, what the fuck, Marcus? And this is where Barbara Crampton shows up. And Marcus has a very specific cadence that is unique to this character.
Very much so. It reminded me of a Pee Wee Herman, or even fucking Earl. Not Earl.
Urkel.
Ernest.
Oh, Ernest.
But Jim Urkel Martin. Too. Yeah, no, Urkel for sure. Yeah. He is doing a character that
like
is
like a Kaufman type thing, though. That is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are removed, but yet somehow close enough to being believable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's just outside of like reality, because you've known dudes that talk like this and believe like this. right.
Like, you've been around enough people that it's close enough to you that you're like, okay.
Yeah.
So he's submitting this tape to get invited to the great seance to bring about Abaddon, the great demon Abaddon. His mom comes in, takes all his shit. He's going to go to work. And he starts arguing with his stepdad. Now, up to this point, I mean, this is where I was really kind of fucking sold on this thing. When him and fucking Todd are like going, you know, fucking doing their little dance shit next to each other. She's like, take a breath, boys. He's like, oh, cute.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So, and he lets them know that he's picking up an extra shift because, I don't know, the dude had been pissing in the... in the tea thing, like, yeah, six times.
The dude is peeing in the tea for the sixth time. Yeah, and he finally got a day off.
Right. Because, and he's got to go back and cover his. It's good shit, though. So Marcus is immediately lovable. You know, you feel for this dude. You want to see him be successful, and it just seems like the whole world is genuinely against him. And we see it doesn't only happen at home. It transfers to work really quickly. He works at, I think it's called Maddie's. And it's just this little meat boy is the mascot. Yeah. He's like made of ground beef with arms and skin. It's a fucking nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a little nightmare thing. But he goes in and he's talking to, but he's good at his job. We do see that. That motherfucker flicks one french fry. He's like, those look a little light. And fucking pew. Shoots one right over to the dude's thing.
I felt like he was like fucking live action SpongeBob. He kind of sounded like SpongeBob. And then he's really good at flipping burgers.
Right. When in doubt, skewer it out. He was super good at fucking. You're right. He was kind of like SpongeBob. But he goes to talk to Marsha and he's like, yo, can I get a new name tag? And she's like, what the fuck do you want? He's like, well, this one says, he's like, I wrote it up through Corpit. I wanted it to be Onyx, the Fortuitous. She's like, that's not your fucking name. He's like, well, neither is Mark Wade Dickberry. He's like, I've been here for 6 years. She's like, pick another one. And he picks fucking, what did it say? Pussy Hound or Pussy? I think it was Pussy
Hound. She goes, go grab one out of the Lost and Found.
And she's just sitting there playing like early video poker, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Internet fucking online, like Yahoo Games or some shit.
Yeah.
And we see him degraded by a group of his friends. They show up and it's like 5 minutes are free. And everybody in this movie, I think rightfully and very successfully, is a caricature in a lot of ways. You know, like you have this one hoodlum and his two, the dog pound, that are like, woo, 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 whenever he says whatever, and they smear fucking burgers all over his face. Poor Marcus. But he gets home and I love this shit right here where he lays down to pray and he's like, God or the devil, whoever's listening, that's some real fucking suffering, dude. Like, right. And I think most people in their life have been to that point. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, just whatever, you know, anything to make this situation change right now. Like, Todd is banging my mom, especially when she looks over and he's like, Todd is your stepdad and my lover. And he's like, gross. So he prays out and he's like, you know, just whatever, anything. And immediately his email pops up and it's an email from Bartok that says, hey, you have won. And this all happens within maybe what, 10 minutes?
Oh, like, yeah, this happens fast.
Yeah, it's a very quick lead up, which I like because throw us right into the shit.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to get where we're going.
Yeah.
And so he shows up with, there's one, let's see, because you, it was the five pieces or the six pieces of the puzzle. You had the queen, the witch, the Viking, the lichen, and the virgin. So maybe it was five.
Right. So we got to set this up for the people who have not seen this before, which is probably most of the people listening.
Who should watch
so
it.
So Bartok has put up, he is like their Aleister Crowley character.
Yes, yes, very
and,
much so.
And they worship him, and he has put in for this online contest where they're going to pick five people to come to Bartok's mansion to do this ritual to resurrect a demon. And
Abaddon.
And our boy Onyx gets chosen as one of the five, and so he's super excited. Take it away, Pops.
You are right. They show up at the door. And there's a chest they have to open up, and everybody wears crystal. And the one girl keeps saying emerald, and she's like, actually, no, it's not. And I love the banter between these ones. You know, the, like you said, the Duke character, our professor, he's the best. I could watch that guy just chew scenery all day long.
Yeah.
I'm like, just keep talking like that. I would watch a whole fucking movie with you just talking in that beautifully drawn out, just deep bassy voice. So they all put him on, enter in, the doors open up. And Bartok's on the ground, old CRT TV fires on and says, hey, if you're seeing this, like I'm dead, you got to start the ritual by bringing me back to life. And they all start screaming, you know, rise, rise, rise. And then here comes Bartok. Ta-da! Bartok's back. And then we meet Bartok's, I can't remember her name, is henchwoman, the demon that works for him.
Yeah, yeah.
With she's the green hair.
The sexy chick with the green hair is all I know.
She's awesome. I liked her a lot in this thing. But yes, he has kind of like a right hand demon with him who is going to help him perform this ritual. And I'll be a little more explanatory, I guess, because I know you feel like people are getting confused and shit. So the goal is to kill all these people, and then, you know, Bartok will get all the eternal life. They don't know they're there to be the sacrifices, not necessarily everything else.
Right.
But they do know that the ritual involves the five different archetypes. So they meet in this room and everybody cuts their hand and puts the blood on the book and it starts to go. And this shit still makes me laugh hysterically. Like I have watched this probably four or five times now. I think it's fucking great. But when he sees that picture of himself and that drawing is so fucking spot on to his face, dude, he's like the virgin.
Yeah, they all get awesome fucking names of what their like soul animal is or whatever. Yeah. And Onyx is the virgin. And he's just this big, fat, drooling idiot.
With a big fucking belly, like a big pot belly. And he's like, damn, they did your boy dirty. They really did your boy dirty. And even though like he has to be an absolute virgin, and you know, they're even calling him out on him. They're like, what are you, you've never done anything? And he's like, well, and this is where this movie shines, is all his little quips in between. Like, there's no way to keep up with them all. But he says something about my friends thought I got a hand job once because we went to see a matinee of Ever After and a piece of popcorn fell in my lap and Becky so-and-so just had the hardest time finding that thing. And all these little fucking one-liners and shit everywhere is so good.
They say, haven't you ever tried it on yourself? And he was like, yes. Ooh, why?
What would that even do? Oh. So he is the straight virgin. And then we get to dinner where everyone explains how they got to Bartok. And at least the surface level, we get a little bit more of these stories deeper. I love our Christian woman who turned to Satan after her when he's watching her talk. And that's, you know, Shayna and I were, when I had this on earlier, we were sitting in the living room. She's like, he kind of reminds me of Jack Black. Totally. And I started to think about it. I'm saying, okay, we're, and then I started to think, and I was like, it's his way he responds to the world around him.
You're right.
The same way Jack Black will play with his eyes, dude. He'll play with his fucking face or his body, you know? And Marcus Andrew, like, sells this idea of this character, like, really into this shit. And then he'll be like, he'll be going and forward and back and like, oh, wow. But her telling this story about her husband getting killed by a drunk driver, and so she turned to Satan. He's like, that's fucking cool. He's like, my dad left and my mom gave me $5. We went to the flea market. I saw this Cabbage Patch doll hiding out from behind so-and-so. Damn, that thing looked good. And he's like, little twirly of red yarn hair. But he ended up finding Bartok's first album. That's yes. Where Duke comes in. He's like, ah, the devil's due. That's right, the devil's due. He doesn't drink either. They all, that was the big thing, is they all had to drink the absinthe in order to have whatever, you know, be a part of the ritual. But he said, like, loose lips or some shit, like too much booze. So he carries tiny little wines in his, his battle cat.
Yeah, he has a battle cat lunchbox with these little, like, muscle men figures that are obviously, like, based off Thundercats.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and I would say most things in this movie are a love letter to, you know, it is Thundercats. Even the music, like the 80s kind of fucking synthy stuff, is a hearkening to the VHS age and a lot of the synth sounds that we heard come out of there. But he tells his story and then everybody goes around, and it's not too long before the queen ends up getting. But our one girl, Max, the cigarette smoker, she sees Bartok and his demon going out somewhere to do some shit. They start to get suspicious kind of quick that something's not quite right.
Yeah, they go into that awesome graveyard set that's like straight out of a Rob Zombie music video.
Yeah. Everything, dude, and I want to say I looked at the budget of this and it was like $680,000.
That's like, so little for what they pull off.
Right. And the sets, you know, feel very, I don't know, fun. But again, they're not taking it serious enough to where you expect to see some of the stage presence of it.
Right.
It can look like a fake tombstone. It can be, you know, a little bit more fake because, yeah, why not? It's cool. And his experience is in music videos, I think, was actually coming up. So who knows, you know, being on those sound stages and shit.
He directs Marvel cartoons also.
Really?
Yeah. That's sweet. Yeah. Like, he came up, I looked at his IMDb and he's got a ton of short films with crazy names, like The Green Shit is one of his movies. Yeah. But yeah, he's done some Marvel cartoon stuff. So,
hey, good for him, dude. Keep pushing until, you know, keep pushing. I think his first one was kind of a Kevin Smith thing. It was just, they put all their money on credit cards and shit and we're like, fuck
yeah.
It.
Let's make a movie. What sucks is that, like, we're doing this movie, but I don't think, I've never heard of this movie before until you brought it up and made me watch it. So it's going to be a word of mouth thing, you know, and I hope that it catches on.
I keep telling all kinds of people about this shit. I'm like, you got to watch it, because I do too. I'm like, you left it wide open for a sequel. Give me some more of this shit, because I'll take it all day, dude. Yeah. I'll take it all day. And so they share all the stories, but the queen is the first one to get transformed.
Right.
She gets summoned to Bartok's chambers. He stabs her with the sacred dagger. And, you know, sacred daggers we've seen all over the place in the 80s. My favorite personal being the fucking Golden Child, of course. Like, give me the knife, please. Fucking Eddie Murphy, so fucking funny in that shit. But they are reanimated under a spell that gives them the appearance of their normal self.
Yeah, he stabs them. It like takes their soul into the dagger.
Right.
In this like purpley effect. And then they are transformed into like ghouls, I guess.
And practical effects done well. These look like Beetlejuice ghouls, like something that would be sitting in the lobby of the fucking afterlife, you know, waiting for your turn to go wherever or talk to a counselor. They look like that. Like it's very hard latex with bright colors, not super scary, stupid long tongues like hanging out. Very like your boy from Psycho Gorman, the fucking cop after he gets.
Yeah, well, that was kind of scary. That was gross. Yeah. This is almost like it reminded me of like Labyrinth kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I could see some of that.
Yeah.
And the puppeteering in this, I mean, there must have been a love for, you know, that shit.
Yeah.
Sure, because we see a lot of it even moving forward.
I want to see a behind the scenes thing because these were life size puppets. Were they people in there? Were they puppeted, you know, from outside? Like, right. I want to know. I mean, some of them,
I love the, well, we'll get to those, some of the cool puppets. Yeah. But yes, the practical makeup effects on these things look amazing. And up until some point, I've already kind of given it away, but the demon is under Bartok's control. He raised her and is using her to do this ritual. And she quickly, though, as she's like fingering everybody's little trinkets and like doing the, you know, feeling them out, she sees something like, hey, this could be my chance for freedom from Bartok.
Right.
And so there's multiple threads going on. And the whole time, everyone is just wanting immortality. I think that was the promise, right? They're all going to be immortal.
Yeah, they're going to live forever. And I don't know why any of these people would want to live forever.
No, maybe Duke. I'd let Duke live forever. But he'd eventually reach a point of too much knowledge. And then after, when do they start going to the demon box?
Yeah, so they have to do three rituals before they make it to like their ascension or whatever. And one of them is that they have to go into this room and they have to talk to the demon box. And the demon box is going to expose your most like deep repressed lie or memory or desire. Yeah, exactly. So each one goes in one by one and they're just coming out like bawling like they've had the worst experience. But we don't see what's going on in there until
Marcus goes in.
And Onyx takes this opportunity. He's like, he wants to go check out the mansion and see, like, because he knows something. I think he's found the crawl space in the wall at this point.
Oh, the fucking spider webs, dude. That shit made me laugh. Ah, they're at perfect eye level. Run. Is it only me? Am I the only one getting these in my mouth?
Yeah, so he finds the crawl space. He knows that something, that Bartok might be not be on the level. And and so when they're all going into the room, he's like, well, I got to get out of here. So he's like, I got to take a shit.
Oh, right. I mean, she's like, can it wait? He's like, no.
He goes, let me check. Yeah, he's like,
nope, got to go right now.
I've been in that situation so many times, dude, where you do like this self-diagnostic check. Right. You're like, nope, this ain't going to wait.
Right. This has got to come out right now. This is gonna happen. So yeah, he does end up in the wall and searching around. I think he even starts to share with some of them, but it's not before he gets his turn with the box and it really kind of shatters him a little bit in a lot of ways. This puppet, you want to talk about great puppets, dude. This is like a mix between My Pet Monster and the fucking turtle from The Neverending Story. Talks kind of slow like that, but is bright purple and blue and pink and red, has a beak. And it's just like, tell me your darkest secrets, Mom. I don't know.
You know what it reminded me of, dude? It reminded me of Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mixed with Jambi from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That's totally fair, dude. That is totally fair. And we didn't mention the I don't know, though, that this man says I don't know all the time.
Oh,
and this
is
part of the character since the YouTube days. And one of the characters, the queen, calls him out on it. Like, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying, I don't know. And he's like, I don't know. So he goes in and starts to reveal his fantasies. And the first one he reveals is that he had this long fantasy about Gadget from Rescue Rangers. They end up on the rescue plane or the rescue blimp, you know, late at night alone or some shit like that. And she ends up fixing not just the blimp, but fixing his pee-pee. And, you know, it sounds funny and you're laughing, but to watch this man say it is where the fucking shit just, it's gold. It's golden, dude, because he's the character. Like, you've up to this point, you've grown to kind of love this character of Marcus. Like, you want to see him at least have some kind of win because you're like, nobody's life can be this bad. So you get this reveal about how he's been in love with Gadget, and that's like his real dark, dirty. Like, that's the dirtiest, darkest dirty that he's got. And then he's like, what else do you want to know?
It's yours too. So that's what made it so beautiful.
But I'm not a grown man who still thinks about it, but it is beautiful. It was so beautiful.
You take time out of your busy schedule. You could be drawing anything and you're drawing like love letters to Gadget and being like, please let me put this on your body so that I'm not the only one that's a sicko.
No, I'm going to get that tattoo on myself, hopefully somewhere, but I claim that one
right next to your peepee, hopefully. Oh, shit.
No, that's where on the inside of this thigh, I've got Quint from Jaws plant looking right up at my junk. Like, you're going to need a bigger boat. A photorealistic portrait of Quint. So he's in love with Gadget, which, you know, we'll expand upon this in a little bit, but he then says, hey, I want to know why my fucking dad left me. And the monster's like, it's your fault. And we have this flashback of him watching Battle Cats, like, sweet, yay, Saturday morning cartoons. Here's mom and dad fucking arguing in the back. Very, again, a staple of like 80s cinema. Dad just takes off, you know, dad just fucking needs to get cigarettes. And he goes to the door, daddy, where are you going? And he's like, nowhere, some shit. And he's like, when are you going to be back? He's like, I don't know. And then the kid's just like, I don't know. So we finally get an origin story that makes sense for this dude saying that shit all the time. He comes out and is traumatized and starts pounding the fucking absinthe.
Yeah.
Just starts getting hammered. And they're like, fuck, Marcus, how much of that have you drank? And meanwhile, though, I think we are getting the visions where Bartok's like in their heads and shit. He's changed a couple of them. I know Church Lady got changed over right around this time because Duke and Max make it closer to the end. I know Duke gets turned, but they kind of know what it's leading up to. But at this point, Onyx is just fucking pissed and he's just getting fucking slammered drunk and just falls over right on his face. The movie is perfection right here in my mind. Because not only do you take that love for Gadget, you don't just leave it at that. You got to take it the next step. And you take, you know, this is a music video, dude. And not many people know that Michael Bay fucking directed I Would Do Anything for Love. Like, if you go back and
watch
that.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's fire, dude. It is fire. And I think he even says it in the movie. He's like, the Michael Bay directed I Would Do Anything for Love by Milo, some shit like that. But I went back and watched it after the movie. I was like, damn, I forgot the whole opening with like motorcycles everywhere and helicopters. I was like, this is Michael Bay. Like, you could see it all over. But that music video is truly an epic. Like, you know, it's a mini movie. Anybody who's ever seen I Will Do Anything for Love understands it's grandiose vision.
Yeah.
And oh, that's when he says it, when they first show up to the place and he's like, this looks like the setting for We go right into the music video with the actual music, which makes it all the better, with Onyx on the piano in the demon makeup and her trying to seduce him into I think they have to have sex.
They have to have sex so that he's not a virgin anymore. Yeah.
Right. And that will break the curse and then she can be free do whatever. But we've got I will do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and bam, bam, bam. Onyx, come with me. And he's like, who are you? She's like, I can be anything here. pick up the music. She's completely fucking dressed up as Gadget from Rescue Rangers.
She's got the nose and everything.
The mouse nose, the ears. And my heart, like, I never want that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want a human being dressed up as Gadget from Rescue Rangers. But I think this, like, maybe he had to show me. He walked me along this path and was like, look, in your head, you have this remember of it being something else, but it's not what you want to feel like. She's just like, I can be anything. And she's fucking Gadget.
Dude,
and he's running around breaking all the mirrors.
Yeah. Your poor wife, dude. You're going to ask for a special Valentine's gift this year after seeing this movie, dude.
I got some cheese over here. You want some little niblets of cheese?
You're all, you come into the bedroom wearing nothing but a giant button.
Right. Even though in that other movie, she hooked up with the fly, right? Didn't they have all the babies at the end in the live action one? Either way, yes. This sequence is worth the price of admission alone. Like, I would pay $10 just to watch this dude's love letter to Meatloaf and Gadget from Rescue Rangers. Like, the weirdest combination.
And to see them come together, dude, and like, right. Yeah.
Well, and it's cool, too, because, you know, horror fans know, maybe not, you might not know, you know, the deeper stuff, but Meatloaf did a lot of fucking cool, like, horror stuff that people remember. I would say Bob is probably the, you know, the most notable from Fight Club. Everybody remembers Bob. Right. But he
Rocky
did,
Horror Picture Show.
No, I'm thinking, no, modern, like a Masters of Horror, where he got to play like a real fucking villain, like scary stuff. So it was cool to kind of bring him into the, but yeah, Rocky Horror is always, I mean, Meatloaf was just fucking awesome.
He was the best, dude. He was in Black Dog with fucking Swayze.
That's right. That's right. He was in a lot of good shit.
He was, dude.
And he set the stage for this. Without Meatloaf, this awesome sequence would have never happened.
You would have never had this to jerk off to.
I've never jerked off to this, and I probably never, never will.
What would that even do?
I don't know. Oh, right, right. Ew! What the fuck? But now, so after he comes out of his dream, though, because he kind of makes the choice of, like, I'm not going to do this, but then Bartok starts to learn what's happening because he tells her, like, I'll cut your fucking head off. Like, you can't, she says, you can't kill me with the blade of whatever. And he's like, well, I cut your head off and keep it in a jar forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, make you fucking miserable. She's like, well, fuck. It's the Patty Slinger. And, you know, that's the, because Duke is translating, somehow they get some of Bartok's writing or something.
Yeah, it's on the back of the painting that he finds in that crawl space.
Right. And that's where he says, you know, it's the prophecy of the, and then the page is missing. How is this possible? The four, and that's when he starts drinking because he's like the fortuitous one. And she's like, wait a second, Onyx. He's like, I don't know. The you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. He doesn't want to be all this stuff. Oh, but in same vision, she shows him the antithesis. And that's a cool sequence with that huge Abaddon demon outside the Maddie's Patty.
Yeah,
and the Maddie Patty fucking guy, like, skewer it out when in doubt.
That's right. Yeah, they did a demon that was like the size of the building, like a one-story building, dude. And it just like sits there and looks crazy. But wow, what a.
It talks to him. Remind me like Tenacious D.
Totally,
tribute video, you know, the way the devil, it was very similar, the same type of latex or paint, I don't know, but it looked very similar to that and super cool. And Abaddon's like, you know, the ritual is going to be complete, I'm going to be there, murder everybody, yada 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 yada. And now we go back to said mansion, and I can't remember Duke, or it's after he drinks the absinthe he starts seeing the ghouls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think she even says, he says something like, that's a ghoul. And, and then he falls down drunk. And he's like, shit, the other girl's like, what? And she, I don't know. He said, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But he can see them. He can see the real
ghouls.
He can
see what they really look like. Yeah. And the other people can't. They're like, they look the same. They look like regular people. Yes.
So again, a love letter to what amazing 80s movie with the greatest fucking fight scene of all time. They Live. It's right there for you.
Yes,
put on the glasses. You know, it was very similar. You put on the glasses and you see something different. His glasses were just liquid. And so he sees all the ghouls. And I'm starting to forget exactly how we lead right up to the end, getting closer to the end, because they're figuring it out that they have to sacrifice themselves. Like Max and Duke know they can't make it any further. And then Onyx has to go to the graveyard and jump into the hole. Right. But if he's not the fortuitous one, that's at the very end, though, when he's actually going to get, I don't remember if I'm missing anything else. That's okay. I hope I'm missing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
because this movie is one that should be had a lot of fun on your own. But they get to the end, and now Max has been turned. Duke has been turned, but he wrote Onyx this long letter, and he's out there reading it. He's like, if you truly are the fortuitous one, you know, and you pull this thing off, you jump in this hole, Bartok will be defeated, Abaddon won't be able to be resurrected, and then you will have the power to bring back the ones that were cursed by the knife that he took the souls out. Essentially, he'll be able to bring back the homies.
Right.
So he's out there, and I do like that Duke writes in there. He's like, you only have, you know, it's so long under the blood moon. You've only got 300 seconds, and Onyx starts doing this with his fingers. He's like, 5 minutes, Onyx, and he's like, you're right. This whole movie is so good with those little tiny here and there, and it's full of them from start to finish. It's just laugh your ass off funny. Even sitting here watching, like Shane just said, you could hear any 2 minutes of dialogue, and you'll probably be laughing a little bit. Like, yeah. There's something, yeah, that's going to make you chuckle. So, but he does right at the bottom. He's like, if you're not the fortuitous one, though, you're just going to be falling for miles and miles and miles in burning agony. And, you know, until you land in Abaddon's fucking shithole, and you're going to be there forever in torment. So the demon and Bartok show up, and Bartok stabs Onyx. But it's not enough because he is the fortuitous one. And right. So he ends up, I think he maybe takes the knife out and then jumps into the hole. Or I don't know if he jumps in with the knife is still in him. Bartok thinks he's got it, but he doesn't.
Right.
He's like, hold on 1 second there, Mr. Bartok, and shit like that. Yeah. He jumps in the hole. Bartok and his demon are now arguing like crazy. And that's when Onyx, the true fortuitous, comes up out of the hole. And this is like heavy metal, you know what I mean? It's every 80s metal album. You know, this dude clearly loves music and shit. If he directed music videos, and he likes Meatloaf, so he's probably into all kinds of 80s metal and shit.
For sure.
This is those covers, you know. It's the badass warrior with the big fucking sword, like a double-edged broadsword in his hands, wearing nothing but a loincloth. Like, I am Onyx the Fortuitous. And he has this whole great spiel, you know, I'm here to vanquish this, that, da 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 da, and ends up cutting off. I think he cuts off Bartok's head because she keeps it. How do we?
Yeah, she keeps it and tortures him instead.
Right. And she tries to make a deal with Onyx, though. Like, hey, you come down here. We make all the demon babies. We will run hell. You'll have everything you ever wanted. And he's like, well, what about the homies, though? Like, what about my friends? Like, I'm a friend. And she's like, well, that can't happen and shit. And he thinks about it, and he's like, nah, I can't do it. And she turns into super cool that we only see awesome demon makeup for, you know, a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Like, sweet, put that shit in the sequel. Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, wings and everything. And so she is tossed. I don't know if she's tossed down into hell or jumps down in there and just says, like, I'll be seeing you, essentially. Like, our paths will cross again. And so she's got Bartok's head. Onyx is now the, I can't remember what they call it. He's got a name for the manor, but he has all the property and everything like that. All of the friends are exactly what they wanted to be. You know, Duke's fucking werewolf. His witch wife is floating around in the air. Everybody's exactly who they wanted to be. And it's like this harmonious place for weird outcasts. And he brings his parents in, you know, oh, this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so. And man, just it's a good time, dude. So I know I kind of talked a lot through that one, but so what did you think? I know you knew nothing about it. You didn't
watch
this thing. So as a, you know, give me your like kind of full, just kind of take on this thing.
Yeah, for sure. I came in, I didn't, you told me not to watch the trailer. So I didn't even watch the trailer. I knew nothing about it. When you see like the poster for it, you know, I had to get it on Amazon Prime. So I had to buy it. Not buy it. I just rented it. But it's also available on Shudder, I believe. And
yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah. And just like the poster for it is like, just like awesome. Like you're like, okay, yeah. I'm down for whatever this is. I knew it was going to have something to do with puppets and something to do with Rescue Rangers, and it did not disappoint. it took me a minute to like figure out, like, I'm like, okay, what the fuck is this? You know,
what are they doing here?
Doing here? But once you just give into it and you're on board, then it's just a great fun ride. It goes really fast. I guarantee you're not going to like guess where it's going to go from moment to moment, because it just goes where it wants, you know?
And even though we talked about a lot, there's still so much more.
There's so much because, yeah, you can't get the humor if you don't hear Onyx's like cadence
delivery. Yeah, it's his delivery that makes that character so fucking amazing. And I might have been able to do a little closer Onyx voice, but I'm just too coffee.
It was pretty good, dude. You should pat yourself on the back.
No, way too sore in the throat. So, out of, okay. I shouldn't say retro, but just a little grittier like that. And like you said, the cover for this thing, I feel like we're going back to that a little bit. There was the whole era of Marvel where everything was the stacked characters in the same fucking triangle. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And long gone are the days of people painting the fucking Star Wars posters, you know, and the like all the horror stuff was just some of the absolute best. We talked about this a few times, but so maybe it's not VHS tapes. I don't know. But I think out of stars are trying to make up something different every time. I like something grittier.
All right. Something I'm on board with that, buddy. Get it dirty.
Something dirty.
Something creepy. Something Rescue Ranger.
Yeah. It's my curse now. I'm just going to get that shit right here on my big bald head, like right on the side, like first love. So nobody will question that. They'll be like, why'd you get it up there? I'll be like, so even God can see what he looks down on me.
Oh, shit, dude. I like your dreams, dude. I want to be a part of this.
So this is what happens. I got too much like cold medicine in me and shit. So out of five gadgets... How many do you give Onyx the Fortuitous? And there can be half gadgets, I guess, if you like the top half or the bottom.
Oh, no.
My bad. That didn't mean to come out that way. Okay, so of how many gadgets do you give Onyx the Fortuitous?
I give it three gadgets and a Darkwing Duck. Like, I just thought it was so fun. It was so weird. And we just need more things like this. It was original. I mean, yes, it was a love letter to all those things, but it fit together in its own way.
A really cool way.
It wasn't based off of a comic book or some bullshit. So like, hey man, this was obviously like something that like, it was his passion project.
Right.
You know, and like he made it happen.
He got to that point. He knew like, this is my, you know.
And that doesn't always translate to an audience.
The dude's IMDb, like you said, like he's done a lot, dude, and working like up to this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, fucking good for you, man. And that's why I'm trying to, because these are the people we need making movies right now.
Yes.
These are the voices we need making movies, is people who are like, look, I don't really give a fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like boxed into this or this. Like, this is, let people make the movie they want to make. And I think when you let people do that, it's cool. But kind of like Sean was saying a couple of weeks ago, you know, with the studio control and shit like that, it's like, how much is the creator? How much? That's why David Lynch did it one time and said, fuck no, I will never do it again.
Right.
Never. Yeah. Made Dune and was like, nope. I will make because when you do that to people, it's like stifles what, and in this, you don't see that stifling, and you can see probably he brought a ton of cool energy to the set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the people, it seems like everybody involved, from the effects people to the actors to the, you know, production team, like the quality is top notch. When I saw it was only 680 grand or whatever, I was like, damn.
Yeah, dude. I was shocked.
Like, yeah, you use that money really, really well. Good for you. And then you give people 200 million and they'll make shit. And
right.
It's like, wow. Yeah. So we need more movies like this. For me, it's 4 out of 5 for sure.
Nice.
It's one that, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean, because you get so many different levels of entertainment out of this.
I really do. It's like everything. It's just like, me and this dude could probably sit down and be like, best friend. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I want to see Pops in the sequel.
Right. I'll petition for that. I'll petition if they announce the sequel. I'll be like, dude, I'll do anything. How much money you need me to donate? Is it the Kickstarter? I'll give you 15 grand. Put me and Gadget in that same. My wife can play Gadget and you put her in that same scene with me.
Oh, no, man.
But yeah, super cool. Check it out for sure if you can.
For sure, dude.
You know, we joked a lot through it, but I think that's what makes this so fun is if you watch it with anybody or know anybody else who's watches it, you can joke. You know, it's just it's full of laughs, man. It's like a good time. It's just a really fucking fun ride. I don't know how else to say it.
Yes.
Okay. So let's bring this home with a little bit of like you already dancing. I wasn't even going to do it yet. I was trying to think about that too, is what I wanted to call this. But so the past, when did I first get sick? Thursday. So I showed up at the shop, worked on my buddy for a little bit. We were going to work all day. I tattooed April O'Neil on him on this Ninja Turtle leg. Turned out sweet, but I was like, something's not right. You know, when you can just feel it, like, yeah. I am not fucking well. Came home. It just progressively got worse all the way through this morning, really. Yesterday started to feel a little bit better, but then the fever, like fighting a fever nonstop for 3 days, feeling like shit, in and out of the shower, the bathtub, fucking shivering, freezing your ass off under the blankets when you wake up and your fever's breaking and you're covered in sweat.
That's the worst.
I have actively tried to not be miserable because of my suffering in this. And, you know, I talk this shit a lot and I'm trying to live it at the same time. And this is where it's hard when the rubber really meets the road to feel like shit, but to be like, you know what? I'm not going to let it make me suffer. Like I don't have to, it's just how I feel. Like, yes, I feel my body's very warm. It doesn't want to move. I've been laying in this bed for 2 days, but it's only when we compare that to when we're not sick that it becomes, you know, terrible. There were still so many things that I could find. If I stopped to look at the whole picture, there were still so many things. I have a great bed to lay in. I've got a fucking 65-inch television in my bedroom. So it's like laying in a fucking movie theater where I can sit here and watch movies. I've got my iPad that I can draw on. I've got the most amazing wife ever who's been like legit taking care of me, bringing me water and soup and all this other shit. I've got a home with heat in a brutally cold fucking winter, even though it's not been that cold these past couple weeks. You know, I have all these things I can still be grateful for at the same time. I've got modern medicine. If I didn't have that shit, I'd probably just fucking die of the flu and that's the end of me. You know, that's what we did for a long time.
Yeah.
You made it to 50. Fucking good for you, bro. Like that was old as fuck.
Yeah.
Old as fuck. And that wasn't that long ago. It is still very challenging because I think the, you know, and even beyond my own state is ensuring that I don't take the way I feel and project it outward at all because it doesn't benefit. You know, it's easy to get even more angry at my kids when I'm sick. When you're like sick as fuck and they like bothering the fuck out of you, it's like,
yeah,
real easy to be like, can't you just shut the fuck up? You know, I would never say that to my children, but you get it. You know, when you're feeling like shit, it's easy to want to push that out because then you bring other you bring other people into feeling shit with you. Mm-hmm. And it's like justifies your feeling shitty because you're angry at your sickness. You can be angry at the world. And now that the world's angry back, it's like, oh, yeah, that's so now it's OK that I'm angry and projected that way. It's now justified because I made it exist in a tangible way. But all you did was fuck create more anger and shit like that. And me not feeling good, like being angry about it is not going to make it better at all. I think kind of just trying to chill out and relax. I did a lot of just laying there and not doing shit. Watched a whole series on Shudder called Behind the Monster. And each one was just a different episode on like Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees. No new shit, you know, nothing I hadn't known already, but it was fun. Nice. I was like, this is cool. I really liked the one on Chucky. That show was a lot of fun. Suffering is a choice. I'm really starting to believe that shit like wholeheartedly. Suffering is a choice. That's not to say that you won't experience pain and things like that, but to suffer almost all the time is a choice of our own, like what we choose to do with it, you know? And when I say suffering, I'm talking about all kinds of different pain, not necessarily. I feel like when we use the word suffering, we think like somebody's fucking torturing you or some shit, you know what I mean? But suffering can be, you know, in your head. It could be a mental health thing. It could be something you hold on to from childhood. It could be, you know, fucking your daily grind that you do for work. Suffering could be worrying about money. It could be any number of things. Suffering is something that throws our homeostasis out of whack. Whereas pain, you know, the pain of, I think, losing a loved one is the only thing that I feel like that pain, anybody know, like that's a shared human experience that we all know, to lose somebody really close. And even though that pain hurts, we can choose what we do with that. We can grieve, you know, we can find a way to grow through that. I can choose to see, you know, myself as like, there is no real beginning or end. I'm a continuation. You're a continuation, yada, yada, yada. Or I could let it define the rest of my existence. My dad died when I was 6. So I'm still fucking bitter and mad when I'm 60. I don't know. Like, it depends on what you do with it. Are you going to suck? You know, the pain is real. But it's also like, death is the most natural shit, honestly, like outside of birth, for what we do. Like, it's one of the most natural things. Like, it's a part of everybody's story. It's, everybody's ending is the same, at least that part of the ending. But when, like, I could have laid there and just been like, fuck this. I could be at the shop. I could be fucking making money. It could be fuck this sickness, you know, fuck. I can't feel better. I just want to fuck feel better. Da, 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 da. But that shit don't do us no good. And I used to be that way a lot. And I'm not saying it still don't hit from time to time, but at least I feel in a better capacity to manage that when it wants to rear its ugly face. But I feel like it does help. Like, you just accept that shit. Like, yeah, my temperature is a fucking 102. I don't know. I'll take some Tylenol. I'll take some Tylenol. I'll throw a cold washcloth on my head. And, you know, if it gets worse, I'll go to the doctor. It's just accepting exactly what it was. Yeah. Not arguing with reality.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm just going to lay here. I'm just going to watch some Rescue Rangers and see what happens.
What's that? No, that'd be too much excitement. Too much excitement for a sick man. I'm already like throwing up and shit. I can't have a heart attack. No, I watched something else too. I picked up a couple. I just picked up, which would be maybe when it comes around this year, I picked up that Thanksgiving movie, that Eli Roth joint.
Oh, I just downloaded that. Yeah, I'm going
to
watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it hit for $10 on it. I was waiting for it to go on sale since last Thanksgiving. I was like, I'm not paying full price for it, but I will grab it at $10. So I threw that on. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun for sure. Yeah. And then another one. That was fucking weird, dude. Fucked my head up, but I was also fucking taking a lot of, like I said, cold medicine and shit, called Someplace Quiet. I want to say it's this.
Yeah, that's on Shudder.
Yeah. And that was cool. That was a lot of fun.
Right on.
So anyway, did you have anything else you wanted to add outside of or to what we were talking about? Don't suffer.
I agree with you. I just got done being sick and I was laid out and I was mad because, you know, I'm having troubles at work and I didn't want to have to like call in and not be there because I was like, this ain't gonna look good. And so it was just, I was tearing myself up and I was like, why? I can't control this. I'm sick. I have to just lay here.
Isn't that weird that we've been, you know, like that is the accepted idea for the most part.
Yeah,
like we feel terrible calling in like, oh fuck, I can't.
Yeah,
like,
I'm really letting them down.
Right. And it's just like a fucking corporate monster. But I get that, dude. I get that. I used to feel that way all the time. Like, oh, fuck. Like, it's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm sick. And in some ways, like if I eat fucking gas station sushi at 3:30 in the morning, that is my fault. But if I got the fucking flu that my kid brought home from school, it's, you know, I didn't go asking for it. But
right. Exactly. But you sit there, you lay there and you're like, I'm probably not that bad. Like if I just get up and man up. Put my big boy pants on, I can make it through the day. I can make it through 8 hours of slavery.
And then I cough out just like this brown gray fucking goo out of my lungs. And I'm like, oh yeah, let's go.
That was part of me. I'll put that back in.
Just rub it on the tattoo. It's good lubricant.
I've been meaning to do this for weeks now. Our boy Brian Gunn wrote a book. And
oh, sweet.
I talked about it on an episode that didn't work out. The sound was messed up and we lost it. Right. So I really want to just mention this thing. It's called Threads of Fiction by Brian Gunn. It's three crazy stories they're fun, you know, they're really cool. And I give it to Brian. He's been working for a long time. This dude gets up at like 4 o'clock in the morning so that he can write before he goes and teaches and shit. Yeah, and he just pounds away at it, and he came up with three really fun stories. One of them's like this whole like Viking thing where these Vikings are like charging across a battlefield, and then you realize that they're all on jet skis, and it's this dude's mind, and it's in the future. It's crazy, dude. It's good stuff.
That sounds fun, though.
But you can pick it up for $6 on fucking Amazon, dude, and it's self-published. Okay, and that's
Amazon,
super cool.
Amazon, and Gunn is spelled with two N's. Double Brian, N, right?
Bryan and Gunn, Gunn. Yeah. And it's called Threads of Fiction.
Threads of Fiction. I might have to buy me one. I'd like to support Bryan, and I like to just support anybody who writes, because that shit, we need more of that in the world.
Absolutely.
Especially fun stuff like that. It sounds like fucking Kung Fury.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is that, like, I was reading it and I was shocked. First off, Bryan's an amazing writer. Like, the way he describes stuff and the way he, like, tricks you into the story and everything is really well done. But also, like, so many, like, of these, like, your friends write a book or whatever, you know, and you got to be like, oh, yeah, you should go buy this. It's about a guy dealing with his fucking life and it's falling apart. You know, it's like, no, these are three fun stories. One of them is a time travel story that's like really out there, and she meets, like, she goes into like Abraham Lincoln's bedroom and shit. It's crazy. And they have a conversation. Like, stuff happens in these stories, so they're fun.
Okay. I'm down.
Yeah,
so cool. Yeah, check that out. Maybe you could figure out how to put a link somewhere, like even in the show notes, where somebody could just click it.
Now you're asking a lot, but I'll see what I can do.
All right, I believe in you. Bryan Bull Lips. Put those bull lips to work. All right, for the Horror Pop Extravaganza episode 16, I've been Pops Ghostly.
And I'm Bryan Bull Lips.
And we will talk to all you horror hounds next week.
Go Rescue Rangers.
Go Rescue Rangers. Gadget for life.